Wendy, how are you?
I am very well, Vilma. I'm very much enjoying a bit of sunshine, not so much the wind.
Yes, well, there is a little bit of sunshine out there, what I can see. Now, we're going to be talking about the new short-term accommodation changes and also a little bit about the rental crisis again, which is exacerbated by the government taxes. And so let's get right into it. So what's happening?
Interesting times at the moment, Vilma, that's for sure. So the Victorian government has come out this week and announced the new powers that are going to be at the hands of councils and also owners' corporations, for that matter. And it's been dubbed the Airbnb tax. And so what it is they're imposing a 7.5% tax on short-stay accommodation. But in addition to that, they're granting local councils and those corporations new powers. So those powers are going to include being able to limit short-stay accommodation within their local area or totally ban them. So owners' corporations will have the power, and all of this is coming in from the 1st of January, so in, what, about, is that going to be about 5-6 months from now? Yeah. So owners' corporations can prohibit short-stay accommodation within their strata schemes if 75% of the owners agree. So they can totally ban any short-stay accommodation. And councils can regulate short-stay. So they will be allowed to require a permit. So if you want to have a short-stay, your property has a short-stay, you have to get a permit. So, again, more revenue raising there for the council. They can limit the number of nights a property can be rented as a short-stay, and they can, as I said, limit the number of short-stay properties within their LGA, their local government area. So the Victorian Greens heavily pushed to secure these additional council and owners' corporation reforms. And they're saying that the levy is supposed to go towards Homes Victoria to fund construction of social and affordable housing. So what's interesting about that is that in 2020, the Labor government announced a $5.4 billion big housing build policy, slated to deliver 12,000 new social and affordable homes in 4 years. So as of March this year, which was 3 years and 4 months, they had delivered just 3,611 of those 12,000 homes that were finished.
Oh, dear.
And yes, and also via their housing statement, they've additionally promised to build 800,000 homes over the next 10 years as well as a build policy promise. So they're requiring 80,000 homes to be built every year, and they are already well short of this. And the government big build projects are competing for workers and materials, things like the suburban rail link. Resources, manpower, woman power, everything's going to there. So there's not the available resources, it would seem, to achieve any of these things. And a lot is the other thing. A lot of the budget for this, the home building type of stuff, has gone to pay consultants and public servants. It's not even going to the actual construction of the houses. So, I mean, there's a lot to unpack here. It's going to apply for stays that are under 28 days. It's not going to apply if you make a booking this year, but it kicks in from the 1st of January. And if you have a property that the owner is already, it's their primary residence, where they're also there, then that's going to be exempt. But also exempt are hotels, motels and caravan parks. And let me give you a little bit of insight as to what is likely to happen here. So in New York has gone and banned short-stay accommodation, so Airbnbs, et cetera. And they implemented that scheme, which they've cracked down on, from September of last year. So what's happened over there? We've seen massive increases in hotel prices, and it has not significantly decreased rents or even boosted the rental inventory. So it hasn't resulted in more rents becoming available, but staying now in New York costs so much more because of the hotels. And it's resulted in the short-term rental activity being moved underground to unregulated sites, which has a whole other challenges for that. So there's going to be a whole bunch of implications from this tax, the Airbnb tax being imposed on short-term accommodation, but also in relation to giving councils the power to dictate who can put their home on a short-term rental, if at all. So I'm seeing that it's going to massively impact businesses that rely on tourism and the tourism dollar, and particularly regional areas. So think about restaurants, cafes, tour operators, sightseeing businesses, Uber, Didi drivers, anybody that relies on tourism or people that are staying on a short-term basis in any suburb, etc. They're going to be impacted by that because people are going to not be as inclined to come to Victoria. And then we talked about the rental crisis at the start of our conversation here. Renters are also going to be impacted, and I want to try and get people to open their mind to this and see the bigger picture, because there is a large majority of the rental demographic who are employed in these service-based industries. They are employed by or working as Didi drivers or Uber drivers, or they work at cafes. And they're going to be directly impacted by this, and tourist-based businesses are going to have to start making hard decisions once their businesses become impacted by this, which they will. It's going to put off tourists coming to Victoria, and have a think about how much traditional accommodation for someone coming to stay. Even just think about Marybeck, for example. How many hotels do we actually have here? So where people, if you can't find accommodation to stay here, you're not going to come here, and it's just going to have that knock-on effect. It's also going to penalise families looking to travel as cost of living expenses are really starting to bite. So
it's
another thing. Yes.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I find it quite disheartening in a way, because you're right. It is going to affect a lot of people. Maybe they're wanting to build up the accommodation side on the hotel sector. You know, I don't find this logically viable at all. And like you said, it's just going to really screw a lot of people, and and it's just going to add more to the chaos that we're in at the moment. But let me ask you this. Say, for example, you've got a property down at, Blairgowrie, and it's your residential home, but it's fairly large. I mean, it wouldn't be a small place, but fairly large, and you've got about four rooms that are available, and you're only living in one or two of them. Could you put someone in there for a holiday stay?
If it's your primary place of residence, then you can. But if it's, say, let's take for example, if that's a holiday home and you'd want to rent it out on an occasional basis because you're wanting to try and get some extra income in because of cost of living and everything like that, you'll be charged, and there's potentially a limitation whether the council will allow you to do it or not as well.
Oh, gee, so that's tough.
Well, it is. This comes on the back of the land taxes that we've talked about, for example. So to give you, I was talking to somebody recently where they have a family home that was inherited. It used to belong to their grandmother, and it's down in one of the seaside coastal towns.
Yep,
so it's their holiday house that they go to. It's got sentimental value because, like, the grandmother owned it.
Mm-hmm.
Their land tax bill has gone from $4,000 a year to $18,000 a year.
Oh, please.
Now, are they supposed to then be forced to sell that home because of someone deciding that the land tax should go up because of the COVID pandemic tax that's been applied for the next 10 years? Let's just read that as being 10 years plus to people that have an investment property. So what I find interesting is that these policymakers and politicians that think they should have a say in how people invest their hard-earned money.
Right? Well, they are.
The government has clearly shown, in just what I talked about before, that they're unable to provide enough public housing and affordable housing. The stats clearly show that. And a Victorian Greens spokesperson for the renters' rights, Gabrielle De Vitri, told ABC Radio this week that they think that this Airbnb tax is going to crack down on property investors hoarding homes for profit, and it's also going to stop them snapping up homes in the first place just because they know they can make loads of cash. Right now we've got 125,000 people on the public housing waitlist. We're in the middle of the worst crisis in living memory. So my suggestion to Ms. De Vitry would be perhaps she needs to ask why the Labor government is focusing so many resources on their big build infrastructure projects and not delivering the public and affordable housing that they committed to.
Yes, exactly. Yes, yes. It's a very tough call, and a lot of people are hurting big time.
Well, they are, and so they're just busy having a go at everyday Aussie mum and dads who are just trying to get ahead and do something and leave something for themselves or their family, for their children.
Well, look, you're right by saying that because a young lad has he's engaged, and he ended up, I think it was 3 years ago, brought a property down at the beachside, and wanting to use that as a holiday place. He just bought the property and as a holiday place, and they've got something here in Melbourne as well, and as a lot of people do, especially Europeans, you know, down the Rye and Dramana and Lawn and you know all that, but they've had it for generations, years. So this young guy has invested, paid just, I think, on $500,000 just for that block. It's not a huge block, but anyway. And now he's rethinking, because we were talking about it probably 6 months ago before this came in, the taxes for Airbnb. He said, oh, you know, it'd be good because I'm in a great area and I'll be able to, you know, get some an income when I'm not using it. But I think he's got to think twice now, doesn't he? Because it's already been slugged. It's just vacant land, but he's already been slugged with $4,000 just taxes to have the property there.
And this is like the taxes that are being imposed, and it's particularly, if you have a look at what they're doing, it's particularly concentrating on property owners. And this is why it makes me just scratch my head why these the Greens or Labor, or they're having a go at people that own an investment property,
yes,
but they don't seem to have the ability to create the housing. So your mum and dad investors are a pseudo provider of public housing. What happens if there's nowhere for all these renters to live?
That's right. Well, another friend of mine just sold her apartment right on the Esplanade. She sold it. And she said that's a relief in a way because she couldn't keep up the demands of paying all those taxes. It's tough, you know, and as I said, even for that young lad, he's brought the property now, still has to build on it, but he can leave it vacant, but then there's also another catch by leaving it vacant.
There's a vacant land tax.
Yeah, it's mental. But anyway,
don't worry, we've got a tax for that.
Yeah, exactly. So, Wendy, tell us about the new podcast, Property Mama, because that's really kicking off now, isn't it?
I love my Property Mama podcast, and I'm getting great feedback from people. I think I'm even getting people that are fans of the podcast. So every week I sit down and I share whatever the most recent shenanigans might be in the real estate industry. And so that's all types of folks that we see and we deal with. So it's real estate agents, it's buyers, it's sellers. And I just share, I just have a bit of a yarn and chat about, again, scratch my head about what's going on. The most recent one we spoke about that's just been released, gone out today, is about underquoting. And I share examples of what underquoting is and is not. And I show you two examples. There was a blatant underquote that happened on the weekend, and I share about that. I actually got quite excited on my...
I was
talking about that one.
Yes. Well, there's a lot going on. I won't say a word, but I know that there was a lot of underquoting in these past couple of weeks on some auctions, and I was absolutely livid. I couldn't believe it. They're still doing it.
Oh, it's just crazy at the moment. So propertymama.com.au if you want to find out. It's available on your favourite podcasting platform.
Yeah, absolutely. And what about the Get Started in Property? Because that's an online mentoring program as well, isn't it? Which I think people need to do.
It absolutely is. So if you want to educate yourself, it's a self-paced program where you can learn step by step all of the many steps, the order in which those steps should be, to get yourself confident enough to buy yourself a property. So getstartedinproperty.com.au puts you in that box seat and gets you educated on what you need to do and what you don't need to do.
Yeah, so important. And if you are wanting to make an inquiry and you've heard the session today, please inquire at chamberlainadvocates.com.au. Wendy would be more than happy to to have a chat with you and get you on the right track, and that would be great. And just very quickly before we head off, buyer's advocates, selling advocates, what are the advantages here?
Well, we're independent and we work for you. So if you're out there looking to buy, who's representing you? So a real estate agent is representing the seller. So from the buying side, we are your independent voice. So we can save you time because we can tell pretty much straight away whether a house is underquoted or what it's worth. And so you're not wasting your time and money doing things like contract checks and building inspections on properties you could never afford. So we are there protecting your interests through that whole process. And on the other side of things, when someone is looking to sell and they haven't sold for a while, or they don't trust real estate agents, whatever it might be, we can be there as your independent voice, making sure things go smoothly for you and hold your hand through that process.
Fantastic. Now, Wendy's media website is www.followwendy.com. And, she's the one. 30 years has it been now you've been in the industry?
Almost 30 years, yes. It seems like such a long time.
Well, probably in figure-wise, but the amount and the wealth of knowledge that you've obtained over those years, not only shenanigans but many other aspects.
And you know what? There's always something new that just makes me scratch my head.
I'm sure there is. Well, Wendy, thank you so much for this afternoon. It's greatly appreciated. We'll talk soon. You've got a few auctions happening this weekend?
We will be out and about this weekend, so fingers crossed we have some success.
Good on you. I hope the weather's good for you too.
We don't get blown away.
Yes, absolutely. Well, look, you take care, and I will we'll talk very soon. Have a great week ahead of you, and good selling for the weekend.
Thanks, Vilma. Appreciate
it. My pleasure.